Holy Week 2022. My first Holy Week as part of the community here at St. Mark's, and it certainly made a substantial impact on me. It was a full and emotional, liturgical, week-long journey, one which enveloped me in our expressions of grief and glory that are given form by our liturgical tradition. And it also brought me close to a team of people who were all working hard to support the worship of this cathedral community. It was a new and a different experience for me. Although I have no doubt each and every member of staff and each and every member of the volunteer team here was tired and overstretched, I felt and have come to know the outpouring of love and joy that is very real in this community. I felt the tangible and embodied delight of being able to work and worship alongside the people of this place, and I felt the inclusion and support as I navigated my own new role. And having felt all that, I now know and believe something of Christian community, its value and its potential. Holy Week, the most sacred week of the year for Christians all over the world. It draws us as a global community into the final days of Jesus' life, his suffering, his crucifixion, his death, before the glorious and triumphant celebration of his resurrection with the proclamation of Easter. And this year, after 2 years of our liturgies impacted by the pandemic, we gathered to journey together through Holy Week from Jerusalem to the cross, to the empty tomb, and on to the locked house where the disciples met, through our shared grief to that collective joy. And I felt all that this year with you. When I was discerning my call to the priesthood, my primary wobble, my primary resistance, was a fear that I would no longer encounter or experience my encounter with God, particularly in the Eucharist, in the same way as a worship leader as I'd been able to experience it as a faithful member of the congregation. I'm lucky enough to have been surrounded by enough experienced clergy people that I was reassured and encouraged to trust that a different, yes, but equally powerful encounter lay within ordained ministry. They were right. But this wasn't just a shift in the quality of my spiritual experience. This has been a shift to a far fuller understanding of what our worship time together is. Why do we do all this? Why? Why do we gather? Why is all of this important? When I think back to my own concerns during my discernment, I realized how focused I was on my own personal experience, my own inner life. There was still so much I still had to understand about what we do here together when we gather each week. As a true product of my time and place, I realized I was making my own experience primary. How does this feel for me? How might it feel different if my role were to change? What if I don't like it as much? What if, dare I admit it, what if it's just not as spiritually satisfying? Do I want to risk the comfort and quality of my spiritual life taking a hit? Shaped by a culture of individualism that's thoroughly blended with a lifestyle centered on consumerism and the primary importance of subjective reality, I'd lost sight, or perhaps had never really fully grasped, the reason why Eucharist is, for us, the principal act of Christian worship. My individualism prioritized my own personal experience of worship almost to the exclusion of the corporate or community significance of gathering, of church. Scholars tell us that the early church gathered not only as a worshiping community, but as a community of citizens organizing and becoming an alternative society. These early Christians gathered around a meal, participating in that most basic of life-giving activities. They ate together. They gathered in love and committed community around a table to be the real, physical, embodied reality of God's kingdom reality, to represent by their gathering the reign of God on earth as it is and as it is still to be. Now, I imagine these gatherings were sometimes joyful, other times they were hard, sometimes they were even kind of flat, maybe felt a bit mundane. Sometimes they might have been harmonious, other times rife with conflict. I imagine some of those gathered were at times exhausted and might have preferred to have been somewhere else. Sometimes these early church folks might have been distracted by all the important tasks they'd set aside just so they could show up. Sometimes the early Christians might have felt weary, explaining or defending who they were and what they believed. But enough of them continued to gather. They gathered, they connected, and they laid the foundation for what we do here every Sunday. They prioritized the way of living that Jesus mandated, that we love one another as he loves us. And all this took place at first around a table with the sharing of a meal. What once I just didn't quite realize was that all this isn't primarily about my own spiritual experience, my own personal spiritual gratification, if you like, within worship or with God. Instead, what's asked of me as a member of God's church is my embodied participation in the kingdom of God that's been inaugurated by the risen Jesus. A new way of living, of doing this life, a new way of being society, being world, committed, gathered together, as Christ's body, a force of love. It's a new world, a God's kingdom, both already here and still not quite yet arrived. We gather here as if this kingdom reality is our reality. And we also gather to practice that reality that is still yet to come. The Reverend Dr. Juan Oliver, who's the current custodian of the Book of Common Prayer, so he likely knows a thing or two about liturgy, he lays this all out beautifully and simply. He says, "We imagine and present this vision of how the kingdom will be through the way that we enact its ritual building blocks, how we gather, proclaim and listen, how we respond, pray, present offerings, give thanks, eat together, and go out in mission. How we do all this is how we envision the kingdom." In the gospel reading today, we hear of Thomas's bold and courageous encounter with the risen Jesus. His inquiring and seeking encounter with Jesus' risen body, to touch, so that he might come to really know. And in being so brave as to ask to touch, to feel Jesus' wounds, to know that the one that stood before him was indeed the risen Jesus, Thomas gives expression to the Christian truth that this, all of this, this is about this life, this physical life, this embodied life, but transformed. Spiritual experiences are an aspect of life, certainly, but it's the stuff of our physical, touchable, tangible reality that we are called to ground ourselves in. I've certainly had a fair few moments where I've gotten lost, adrift, and detached, caught up in my own spiritual experience and longings. Again, the Reverend Dr. Juan Oliver succinctly warns of the temptation to overemphasize the inner spiritual life, as this can quickly lead to the diminished importance of the full embodied self. He says, by ignoring the physicality of Christ and his body, we can also easily ignore the suffering bodies of humanity and the rest of creation in the service of either ideas or feelings, or both. We gather here together in this place to touch and to know the transformed and risen body of Jesus. We gather here each week to be the transformed and risen body of Jesus. We gather here together as an alternative society, one that respects the dignity of every human being and that strives for justice and peace among all people. We come here so we might show forth in our lives what we profess by our faith. We come here to touch and to know, to be transformed and to transform.